Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Good afternoon. Welcome to The Man in Line on Mates Radio. Your thoughts on 66 13 68. You can text 166 177 or email studio at manxradio.com. As of 4:30 yesterday, there have been 40,474 tests. 276 people are waiting for tests. 29 new cases yesterday. At the moment, we have 847 active cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man, and 14 people in hospital. On the vaccination dashboard, it's showing 33,989 vaccinations have taken place, of which 22,596 were first dose administered, 11,391 second dose administered, and currently we have 17,746 shots of vaccine in stock at the moment. Your thoughts? We'll get to what the Chief Minister has been saying about the steam packet this morning, but I just want to take you back a year. Monday, the 16th of March, 2020. We've been talking all weekend, that previous weekend, about whether the TT should go ahead, whether or not the TT should happen, because COVID was happening right across Europe, and we didn't quite know what really was going to happen.
Hi, I absolutely think that the TT should not go ahead, because I just think it will unleash the virus over here big time.
It was a year ago.
Oh, hello, this is John here. I believe the TT should go on, and they should just do the checks regularly. Long live the TT.
This is just about the TT. I am in total agreement it should not go ahead. We are only a small community, and it would be devastating, and it will be devastating when it does get here. Thank you.
Mrs. Cath, I'd just like to say I hope you don't have the TT, because Nobles Hospital would not be able to cope if people start going down with the coronavirus TT fortnight, because it has a struggle as it is TT week.
It is a year ago. It seems like forever, doesn't it? But then again, it seems just the blink of an eye. That was Monday, the 16th of March last year, the programme all about the TT that we had, should it go ahead, shouldn't it go ahead. That afternoon, the Chief Minister spoke.
The Council of Ministers met today to establish measures to protect the island and its residents in light of the developing global coronavirus pandemic. Decisions have had to be made in the best interests of our community and economy. A great deal of work has taken place over the past few days and weeks. I am now able to announce anyone arriving in the Isle of Man from 23 hours and 59 minutes tomorrow, in other words, 1 minute to 12, on the 17th of March, will be required to take immediate action. The 2020 Isle of Man TT is cancelled to protect our critical care services.
A year ago, that is. What are your thoughts immediately? How do you feel? A year has gone by and we are where we are today. Juan dropped a note into the radio station just to say Peel Marketplace yesterday afternoon, groups of teenagers wandering around, no distancing, no face coverings, possibly spreading the virus. Parents, have a word with your children. I just wonder how you feel about some people transgressing, some people not quite getting this, some people thinking it doesn't apply to them, and what you think really should happen, whether it's the government's job, whether it's the police's job. We've heard the police are a bit understaffed because of people who are self-isolating. So exactly where do we go? If some people are continuing to mix and not to observe the rules. We had 29 new cases of COVID-19. So, of course, it is going down. But is it going down quick enough? Chief Minister yesterday announced it's going to be another week. Another week before they think about coming out of lockdown. Or indeed, there may be some measures that will be relaxed in the meantime. But it's going to be the 31st of March before it all happens. midnight on the 31st. Thoughts 66 1368. Now this whole issue of the steam packet is rumbling on. There was a virtual Tynwald, or is a virtual Tynwald, on at the moment. The Chief Minister has been talking to Tynwald members about the background to what's been described as a misunderstanding over which measures steam packet crew should have been taking. Mr. Quayle said initially he'd assessed the situation after speaking to the steam packet officers.
Council ministers don't get involved in how the direction should be given to the steam packet company. That is for the professionals at public health. The professionals at public health were of the opinion that all of the steam packet member crews were isolating when they came off a shift. That's what we thought was happening. That's what we as a council ministers had been advised. However, it became apparent that the steam packet were of the opinion that it was only their UK-based crew that had to do that. That's where the breakdown in understanding has happened, and that's why I've asked for a review to see just what has happened so that we can decide what needs to be done going forward, if there's anything to tighten up. As a solution to the problem of the steam packet crew saying we would be in perpetual isolation based on your interpretation, that's our public health and government's interpretation, a solution was found going forward from our public health team and the steam packet on something that reduced the risks but enabled the steam packet crew not to have to isolate once they'd finished their shift.
What legal qualification the officer had who made that decision, or the officers, and also what other circumstances the Chief Minister might feel it appropriate for officers to decide if a breach of the law was sufficiently serious to be referred to the police.
I believe the Chief Secretary has responsibility for deciding whether a criminality has happened and referring it to the police. We were initially trying to find out had elements of criminality happened. We were reassured that it was a genuine misunderstanding, and therefore I asked for a review. Now, if the review comes back with further information that we don't know, then obviously we will review that situation.
Chief Minister talking about the situation around the steam packet, which doesn't seem to be going away, though. You heard Claire Barber, MHK, questioning the Chief Minister in Tynwald today. That, no doubt, will be a continuing story, and I just wonder whether you think it's something that we should be concentrating on, or whether you think we're just raking over the ashes of something that's already happened. So should we go back, should the Chief Minister continue to be quizzed about the steam packet affair, or is it something that's just done and dusted, it's gone, and we just need to move on? Any thoughts on that? So sad that the Chief Minister, this is Andy, you dropped a note in just to say, so sad the Chief Minister reported on yesterday's briefing that people were going into work with COVID symptoms and consequently track and trace had to close a company. Could the government confirm that the reckless individuals will be prosecuted? The great Manx public, he says, is working very hard to achieve elimination. We don't need individuals prolonging the lockdown. Any thoughts on that on text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com, or call 66 1368. Somebody else reporting Peel Marketplace, busy yesterday, lots of people obviously not isolating, lots of people without face coverings. Malcolm, just regarding yesterday's subject, we were talking about cyclists and the people just advocating the need for cyclists to be identifiable, to have a registration and possibly insurance as well. Malcolm just says, Andy, anybody who buys household insurance, buildings or contents cover also has protection against personal liability claims. It's the family legal protection section of the policy, and it includes claims arising from the use of pedal cycles by any of the family. So if you have household insurance, buildings or contents, look in the family legal protection section, and it includes, or should include, claims arising from the use of pedal cycles by any member of the family. Malcolm, thanks for that point. Appreciate it. People are waking up. I think this is an unnecessary lockdown. We need to start living with the virus. Vulnerable should shield, but life should go on. That is an anonymous text from 442, whoever you are. Stick your name on there. Let's see what you're called. Listen back to the briefing on the 18th of January. Mr. Glover, Tim Glover, asked about the steam packet crew's mixing, and it was left with Dr. Ewart to recheck all the protocols in place. That went so well, says Jamie. You can hear all the briefings, by the way. Of course, we're the only radio station that's covered all the briefings in total, broadcast them live, and they're all available as a podcast. If you so wish, you can go through every one of them and listen to exactly what's been said. Has to be said, and it was brought upon the man in line months ago, people flagging up concerns with the steam packet. People were sending me emails, confidential emails about what was going on the steam packet, and we continued to put it to government. And bluntly, they continued to bat it away until, obviously, what's happened has happened. The steam packet subject, we have new measures in place. We don't need to waste our time pointing fingers, says Paul. If people can't be trusted to keep the lockdown rules, says Elaine, what will happen over Easter if lockdown is stopped and everyone can mix freely again? Come mid-April, we could back to be back at square one. Well, I was just checking through yesterday. On the original three-week lockdown, we should have been out in a week, because today's day 15 of lockdown three. So it should have been a minute past midnight on Wednesday the 24th. Now, the Chief Minister said yesterday it's at least another week. So that'll be a minute past midnight, Wednesday 31st of March. That's Easter week. Good Friday is the 2nd of April. So if we do come out on Wednesday the 31st of March, presumably everybody's going to be mixing again over Easter. Just wonder how that makes you feel. Tentative, confident, bit iffy, browned off about the whole thing. Your thoughts are cordially invited on 6613, 68 on this. The Chief Minister did say if we does go on after Wednesday 24th of March, there may be, and there is lots of talk today, I have to say, in Tynwald, about bubbles of two households, about the talk of the impact it's making on people's mental health and the fact that everybody is having to be confined to one household. So you heard Mr. Morehouse talking about social bubbles yesterday. That certainly is a concern in Tynwald today. So we wait to see what happens as well. The 34 unexplained positive cases over the last 3 days is the problem. It means somehow they're spread in the community. In other words, people aren't sticking to the rules and still spreading COVID, says Bob. Bob, what do we do about that? Is it the police's job? Is it the government's job? Lieutenant Governor's job? Who is it? Lieutenant Governor got jabbed yesterday, by the way. We now have an immunised Lieutenant Governor. How can you say that the steam packet issues are closed, says Peter. When did the Chief Minister become judge, jury and executioner? It's a bit harsh, isn't it? Someone at the steam packet should be prosecuted, the executioner bit, Peter. I'm not saying they should be closed. I'm just saying, I'm asking, should they be closed? The steam packet thing has obviously happened. Do you think it helps at the moment to play the blame game? Or should we have an inquiry when it's all over? Or should we have an inquiry going on now that just kind of obfuscate everything? In this latest lockdown, says Sydney, it would seem people are continuing to break COVID guidelines with regard to mixing households. Last year, there were fines being issued for such breaches. What has happened to the deterrent this time around, says Sydney? There just doesn't seem to be a deterrent. If everybody was supposed to be checking up on during their isolation, why weren't the steam packet employees checked on, says G. Juan's with us. Hello, Juan.
How are you today, Andy?
Well, I'm happy as anything because it's a nice day outside.
Absolutely lovely. I'm going to sleep a lot better tonight knowing that the governor has had his jab.
Okay. I hope he will as well.
Yes, yes, I'm sure. A couple of points. I'm just before I get onto the main one. The 17 people that they keep saying is in hospital, they keep hearing these figures every day, these doom and gloom figures that keep coming out every day, that keep getting put there to people, how many people have had their jabs, etc., and 17 people in hospital. We're not going to get a breakdown from that, obviously, the medical thing and Freedom of Information Acts and everything else that hides all the information that we really need to know. But, I mean, listening to someone who's talked to someone who's actually in hospital there, with COVID, there doesn't seem to be 17 people there actually with COVID. There's people that's come back from hospital away. I think David Ashford just skirted over that the other day when he was asked the question. But I think it's just fair for people to actually know the facts of 17 people in there, because, again, and I keep saying that people are living in fear and scared of everything that's going on. And I think it's only fair, if you're going to say there's 17 people in hospital, they should tell them exactly what they're in there for, even though they might have COVID symptoms, whatever COVID symptoms might be in respect of pneumonia and flu. But I think that people should be aware of that.
At one point he was asked, Mr. Ashford was asked, if there was anybody in intensive care, and he did say last week somebody was in intensive care. So do you think they should be stating if there is anybody, it's 14, by the way, in hospital, but if anybody's in intensive care, is that what you want to get to the bottom of?
Absolutely. I mean, the whole thing of it, that, you know, they keep the news emphasis is 17 people in hospital, and that scares a lot of people. And then they're wondering why people have got mental health issues, and I've got issues with this whole thing. And I think it should be broken down a little bit more and stop the scare tactics. And I agree with the people that are saying that, you know, let's get on and live some life. And, you know, this has been a whole year now. I mean, we're closed down for... How long were you closed down here last year? I wasn't here, but it was to flatten the curve. And a year later, we're still helping out the NHS and flattening the curve. People need to get on with their lives and stop listening to the press and the fear-mongering and the main media. And the other thing I wanted to touch on with that was I sent a message into you today, but you're probably a bit busy with things. How does taking an experimental vaccine, which it says on the government website that it is, it's been looked at over 3 years, how does that come about in respect of life insurances and policies, etc., that you have signed a document saying that you are prepared to take an experimental vaccine?
I think that's... do you remember when we didn't vaccinate for a few weeks because Mr. Ashford was very firm about getting the underwriting, getting it all underwritten, whereas Jersey and Guernsey dived in without getting it underwritten? We waited for all the... kind of ifs and buts and maybes and the I's dotted and the T's crossed. So I think there is, it has all been verified. So I'm presuming, I mean, anybody in the insurance industry will tell me otherwise. And not only that, I think, Juan, aren't most new vaccines are experimental anyway? There's nothing new, is it?
I'm not an anti-vaxxer by no means whatsoever, but I do have my doubts about this one being an mRNA-changing vaccine, and not a vaccine in the traditional term of a vaccine. So I like to go into my homework a lot more about it before I be putting it in my arm. And I know a lot of people will criticise that, and I'm sure the phone line will light up. But everyone seems to be keen on, all the talk seems to be, when are you getting your vaccine and when are you going down? And I'm kind of like, hold on, I just want to know a little bit more about this, because I don't necessarily believe everything that governments tell me, because they're getting their information directly from one source, which is the World Health Organization and such. And I'd rather like to know a lot more about it, to be honest. But just going briefly on, I don't know if you've got anyone waiting, but I just wanted to hit on the subject of the DOI, which I've been on about for quite a few weeks now on different things. And I'm looking at all the stuff that they've done over the last 6 months, 7 months. The bike lane fiasco on Bray Hill, the promenade fiasco, the landlord's bill, and now the road tax. And I was quite surprised this week. I mean, I came on at the beginning of the week talking about the road tax. And a lot of people got up petitions, and there was a massive amount of pushback from the local people about it. And Tim Baker comes on in the middle of the week and says, oh, yes, we shouldn't put that in because of the time of everything that's happening. Well, I'm sorry, but you did put it in. And the fact that makes people push back against it, you seem to be wiping your face off it. Now, either Tim Baker is a weak politician and is letting the DOI and the civil servants within the DOI run riot, but something should be done there, because the DOI seem to be making a mock-up of a lot of things at the moment, and government are not shy at making the best out of a good disaster. And they seem to be doing that on the back of this here COVID thing. And I'm very concerned that the civil servants seem to be overpowering the politicians here.
And DOI is a massive department. It's got so many tentacles.
Absolutely. And surely you need a very, very strong and wise politician in there to oversee what's happening. And I'm not saying that these people are silly in no way that's being employed there, but they're earning far more than a lot of these politicians. And if you haven't got a politician in there that's keeping check on things, as we can see here through a lot of the stuff that's going on with the DOI, so I tend to think I'd like to ask Mr. Baker, how strong a politician does he think he is? Because the statement that he made this week on the pushback on the road tax, it seems not to be, strong views in my mind from where he's coming from. The fact that he's come back after the Manx people have pushed back and said, oh, yeah, I believe that, no, this is the wrong time for it. Perhaps we should look for a better politician to run the DOI and stop all this here stupid nonsense that they've been putting out there.
Well, we'll find out. Obviously, there's a Keys election in September. And, of course, as soon as they announce the election, nobody's an MHK, everybody's a candidate. So we'll see what happens after then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let's just hope that we do get something happening. I think there's a lot of things now coming to light. I mean, I've been chirping on about a year now since this COVID lockdown and all the things about getting back to the island and all the other things. And now I think people have got more dogs in the race with this, and it's affecting more people. People are now trying to see the things that's happening behind government and not necessarily being forthcoming with a lot of the truth with different things.
And you'll be happy to know the DOI have just announced that they were due to start work on Pullrose Bridge. It was due to be closed yesterday. It's been delayed for a week, or maybe more. Okay.
Is it the same people as doing the promenade?
I don't know. You never know. Duan, thanks for calling today on The Man in Line. Always appreciate it. Disobeyed, this is Tommy, dropped a note in and just said, Andy, disobeyed COVID rules need tough sentences. Why should these people willfully risk the lives of the vulnerable and the infirm? Selfish and evil, says Tommy. Lock them up, throw away the key. Seriously, they need a hiding. We really need a rapid response team that can take down COVID spreaders when they go walkabout, says Tommy. Nothing has changed regarding the steam packet, says John. Manx crew can mix with UK crew and then bring it back to the Isle of Man. We've asked and asked and asked, and certainly asked the steam packet, just to give us chapter and verse. And if they tell us chapter and verse, I'll more than happily pass the message on. In fact, if anybody from the steam packet would like to come on and just say, this is how we do it. The UK crew go here, the Manx crew go here, there's a brick wall down the middle, they wave at each other through a glass window, and that's all that happens. How does it happen? They cancel TT due to the COVID-19, which is understandable, says Michael. Could they hold a weekend TT for local competitors in June, just lasting 4 days? 2 days practice for local newcomers, two main races streamed live to fans worldwide to keep the TT alive till it can come back to normal. In New Zealand, they have a short motorcycle weekend race called the Cemetery Circuit. In Whanganui, it's held on Boxing Day, which is their summer weekend, says Michael. Well, let's hope 2022 brings back motor racing to the Isle of Man. Everybody is hoping that it's going to happen. Let's all keep our fingers crossed. It'll be fantastic. Can you imagine what it's going to be like on the first day of the TT in 2022? Can you imagine? There'll be tents everywhere. Malcolm should check his insurance, says Graham, because unless you pay for extra legal cover, you're not automatically entitled to legal cover. This is coming back to checking the small print in insurance policies, and particularly if you're taking a Manx policy out, talk to your broker and just say, is legal cover in the household policy, buildings or contents? Alex said, Andy, the question I feel needs asking, why are there few, if any, arrests and jailing now of COVID lawbreakers? Have the judiciary's powers been removed or not renewed following the removal at the last lockdown? If a serious deterrent has been removed, this may explain the unknown origins of the spread. A message in just said, Andy, there are lots of cars. There are lots of cars around, aren't there? Of course, if you're self-isolating and you're not going out, let me tell you, there are lots of cars around on the road. Perhaps the police should start doing spot checks and should start asking people. And Anne just said us again, I thought you were only allowed to go out in your car if it was necessary. Every day there are cars parked on Douglas Head just out for a ride. I heard Chris Kinley talking about this the other night. And Kinley's on every evening, 6 o'clock with the greatest hits, and does a COVID briefing at 7 o'clock. Chris was saying every afternoon he comes to the radio station, Douglas Head is packed with cars, people eating sandwiches in their cars. And he just posed the question, is that having exercise? 28 minutes to one, man in line in session through to one. A year ago today. A year ago.
Never before have I seen such natural beauty. Yards of luscious green grass to my right are bordered by beds of tall sunflowers as graceful, aromatic lilies embrace the sunshine, hugging a majestic wooden structure looking wisely over its kingdom. This garden could be your reality. The Southern Home and Garden Store showroom is now open 7 days a week. Visit the showroom on the Balthane Estate or view Southern Home and Garden Store on Facebook.
At Advocate Smith Torbitts Unsworth Limited, we appreciate the challenging situation the world and our island is facing with COVID-19. We deal with all types of dispute before the courts, from debts and personal injury to professional negligence, criminal and family. For now, we're asking all our clients to only attend our office if you have a pre-booked appointment. But please, if you need us, call Advocate Smith Torbitts Unsworth Limited today on 67788 or email reception@advocates.co.im.
Care to play? Then play to care with the Hospice Lottery. We still need your help so we can continue to be here for those who need us now and in the future. Playing the Hospice Lottery costs just £5 a month with the chance of winning £1,000. So liven up your lockdown and help us to continue making a life-changing difference. Visit hospice.org.im/lottery and sign up now. Terms and conditions apply. Players must be 16 or over.
At Domino's Pizza, right now, it's 2 for Tuesday. Buy one, get one free. So what are you waiting for? Order online now or call our Douglas or Onken store. And join us on Facebook at Domino's Isle of Man to find out more about our exclusive offers and deals. Domino's, we got this.
You're listening to Carnaby Street.
All courtesy of the Isle of Man Railway's time train.
Did you meet the Rolling Stones, Twiggy or Mary Quant? Do you remember tipped weights, opal fruits or jamboree bags? Did you listen to the latest pop record on Radio Caroline North or Radio Luxembourg? Well, whether the answer is yes or no, Carnaby Street puts you right at the heart of the sights, sounds and atmosphere of one of the most influential periods of social history, the 1960s. Jump on board the time train with Isle of Man Railways and me, Chris Williams, every Saturday morning from 8:30.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
26 minutes now before one. Adam on the Man in Line. Hello, Adam.
Hi, Andy. You all right?
Yes, good today. How are you feeling?
I'm good too. Yeah, lovely day. I'm good. I'm just ringing up because I think it's very sad how many people are asking or calling for other people to go to prison. I think it's, you know, I think it's a great shame, the number of people who are desperate to see their fellow countrymen put away in prison. And it's not just a prison sentence for 2 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever. It's actually, you're giving someone a criminal record for life and they're then affected for the rest of their lives in terms of their employment opportunities and things. And there's been a number of quite vulnerable young Manx people or fairly young Manx people who've gone to prison because for the most minor offences during this, you know, for going around a friend's house or for car sharing or whatever. And I think it's a great shame to hear the number of people who would like to see others go to prison and who are desperate to brand other people selfish and criminalise them.
What deterrent do you think there should be then if people do break lockdown restrictions?
Well, I think they should be warned and I think they should be spoken to. And I think due process is essential. They should be spoken to and they should be given warnings. And then if they do it again, they should be fined. And then if they do it again after that, then you can consider prosecuting them and giving them a criminal record. But I think it's a great shame to hear the number of people who are desperate to see others prosecuted and sent to prison just for the slightest thing. You know, and I go out and about and do a walk every day, and I don't see anyone breaking the rules. I think, and I've been away, as you know, in England all winter, and I think people over here stick to the rules far more than they do over there. Over there, they're not really interested, and, you know, people have just given up with it almost, whereas over here, everyone, because the Isle of Man hasn't been in lockdown throughout the winter, and it's just gone back into lockdown now, people are very much sticking to the rules, and people do give each other 2 metres space, and they do wear face masks, and it's... I think it's a great shame, the number of people who call for others to go to prison.
So do you think, you were mentioning you were in England, I mean, are people in England, or were they when you were there, were they fed up of all the rules?
I think they were fed up of all the rules, yeah. I mean, they do obviously wear face masks when they go into shops and things, but in terms of social distancing, there's less worry about that, and certainly you don't get the clear social distancing with people walking onto the roads and things that you do over here in order to avoid another person. So I mean, you know, maybe we're being a bit parochial in terms of sending everyone to prison and in terms of, you know, people over here are doing a good job of keeping it out and abiding by the rules compared to over there. And I think it's a shame to hear people calling for others to go to prison.
Does it feel like a lockdown to you, Adam?
Yeah, it feels like a lockdown to me because I can't go out. I can't go down Costas. I can't do anything. You know, anything I like to do. I can't go out for Sunday lunch. I can't go to my open water swimming sessions, for example, with my friends. So, yeah, it does feel like a lockdown to me.
Okay, all right. Thanks for calling us today. We're on 66 13 68 if you want to get in touch. Lots and lots of emails and texts, and somebody saying, were you taking the Mickey? Is that called a cemetery circuit? Yes, it is. There's the circuit in Whanganui, in North Island of New Zealand. There is a road racing circuit there called the cemetery circuit. It's called the cemetery circuit because it's it bisects the old town cemetery in Whanganui. It's a day-long meeting. It's on Boxing Day every year. It's been running since 1951. They get about 10,000 people there as well. The Southern Hemisphere's Isle of Man, of course. They say the cemetery circuit. That was Michael asking whether or not we should have a weekend TT. Roger on the man in line. Hello, Roger.
Good afternoon, Andy. Just in response to, I think it was Andy that was on just then, relating to the people going to the prison.
Yeah.
He's entitled to his opinion, of course, but in my view, he should do a little bit of fact-finding first, because if the chief constable is correct, these people that he's referring to, they're not just sent to prison as a first option. They are already given warnings, and they've given advice, and they give in second warnings, etc. And to go to court, is a final option. They don't just send them to prison. So that's absolute rubbish, what he's saying. What's happened is exactly what he's asking for.
Yes, of course, they do get a criminal record if they're fined, because it will be an offence that will go on the record.
But it's a last resort to go to prison. The virus doesn't give you 3 chances. If it wants to grab you, and if you're unlucky, then you get it first time round. You don't get a warning. Don't do this again, because I might get into you and infect you. So it's a huge responsibility these people take. And just to say, well, I'll car share, it doesn't matter. I'll mix, it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. It matters to a lot of people. And say it doesn't matter to those 12 or 16 or whatever number of people that are in hospital right now, or the thousands of people that are isolating. To me, the Chief Constable and his team do an exceptional job, and they are soft gloves from what he says, and they are giving people warning. And if they if they continue to break that law in the same way as if they were to break the law and burgle a house or something else. If the police have got their hands tied, no other choice than court it is, and if they get a criminal record, so be it. It's self-inflicted.
So the law is the law?
Exactly, exactly. We all have to comply with that because it is, as you say, it is the law. Emergency powers, and we have to stick with it. If we're going to get through this, it's no good saying, oh, just, you know, that's okay, they only shared a friend's car. Then they infected the grandmother or whoever, and the consequences are huge.
Okay, thanks for calling, Roger.
Thanks, Andy. Bye-bye.
And Fiona on the man in line. Hello, Fiona.
Oh, hello. Hello, Andy. I'm just ringing up to make a comment about, as someone who's done a lot of research to the doctorate level, that the presentation of the data, I think, is a bit misleading. And obviously, I can't help but think this is supposed to suggest that, you know, I've even heard it claimed by Mr. Ashfield, that we are actually doing better with our jabbing than the UK. Now, when you look on the sites and they lump together the first and the second jab, first of all, it doesn't really give you the clinical picture, because the first jab is the one that gives you 80% of protection. The second jab gives you a very small extra top-up, what, I don't know, 8%, something like that. And of course, we are now following the UK method of rolling out more first vaccines, which is good because more people will be covered. But I have heard it claimed by Mr. Ashfield, and when you look at the data, that they present 32,000 jabs. That's lumped together with the second jab. This isn't the right way to present data. You should put the number of first jabs and the number of second, and then the total.
Why do you think they've changed the method of showing data?
I don't know. I don't suppose they've changed it. The fact is that when they claim we've done better than the UK, we haven't really, because the UK, with a population of over 60 million, they have done over a third of their population with the first jab. We, with a population of 85,000, have done 22,000 first jab. That means we've done just under a quarter on the first jab, and that is the one that counts. Yes, the fact we've got on with the second one very quickly, the Pfizer one, fine. But it's not the one that protects the Manx population. That's just a top-up, really. So I'm glad that they've increased the numbers drastically and rolling out the AstraZeneca jab so more and more people are covered. But I think it's wrong to claim that we've done better than the UK. Because there's a lot of people, I even have people of 70 plus who are still waiting for their first jab. I've actually had my first jab down at the airport, which I'm very grateful for. But as I say, in the UK, they're getting on with people in their 50s. And in terms of protecting the population, this is what counts. So, yeah, we're getting on with it now, but we were very slow before. So
okay.
That's really what I wanted to say.
All
and
right.
They shouldn't lump the presentation of the data, the first and second jab, together, because clinically that isn't useful information. You are not adding like with like. You're putting a 80% protective vaccine lumped together with an 8% protective top-up vaccine.
Thanks for calling us today.
I think it's an intent to misrepresent. Okay, thanks, Andy.
All right, good to talk to you, Fiona. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. It's just to say that the TT, given all the world panic at the moment, and this virus that's going around, and it is a pandemic, that there is no way the TT should take place. Such a large crowd of people coming from all over the world, and we'll have other TTs, whereas we need to protect and isolate ourselves from this disease at the moment. So my opinion is the TT should definitely not go ahead.
Does it feel like a year to you? It was Monday the 16th of March last year. Monday the 16th of March, we had an hour-long programme talking about the TT. Should it go ahead? Should it go ahead? That afternoon, the Chief Minister had his first media briefing. Do you remember when they were a novelty, the first media briefing, and the TT was cancelled last year and restrictions were brought in?
I would just like to say that I do not think that the TT should go ahead this year. Thank you.
Lots of people, lots of calls. We'd listen to them all back this morning in the office. Absolutely fascinating people's thoughts. Craig just said, I think the lockdown should be stricter. It doesn't feel like a lockdown to me. And we're going to remain in lockdown till the end of March. It was announced the third lockdown has been extended by a week until the 31st of March. It comes as around one in every 100 Manx residents currently has the coronavirus. One in 100. Chris on the Man in Line today. Hello, Chris.
Hello, I'm not sure. Am I live on air?
You're live on the air.
Oh, right. I didn't know that. Your producer didn't tell me that was going to happen.
Well, this is the Man in Line. It's a phone-in, Chris.
I know. I was just wanting to project a thought. I didn't know I was actually... Anyway, the point of the story is I was upset. I had... The police are out at the moment. They're not wearing face masks. Are they above the law?
Whereabouts have you seen police not wearing face masks, Chris?
In my own flat. So they had a reason to call here. I didn't do anything. It was in connection with another problem. In the street, they have not been wearing face masks. Are they above the law? Jane Hughes, the high bailiff, has been jailing people for minor offences, but the police have not worn. They've been vaguely disregarding the terms and conditions. They've not been wearing masks, and they don't do it, and they've been... they could have been infecting people.
Okay, Chris, all you need to do is, presumably you've got their numbers, presumably they've identified themselves. It's up to you if you feel that's you want to make a complaint, you should make a complaint, Chris, and please keep me informed of that. I'd like to hear what happens.
You love the food at Port St. Mary Golf Pavilion, so don't go without this lockdown. Throughout the week, order for collection or delivery straight from our kitchen to your dining table. Enjoy afternoon tea and cakes or hot food delivered across Port St. Mary and Port Erin. And our Sunday carvery collections are on every Sunday. Who's at the door? It's delicious food, contact-free from Port St. Mary Golf Pavilion. Find all the details on Facebook or at psmpavilion.im.
Macro Metal Services, for cutting-edge metal work. Well-known for ventilation systems, mezzanine floors, fire escapes and more, Macro Metals also custom design a range of fabrications for the home, from beautiful balustrades to stylish kitchen splashbacks. With over 30 years' experience, Macro Metal Services offer their best advice and materials for your project. And when we say no job is too large or small, we mean it. Call the team on 822 805 or visit macro.co.im.
When you need a fitting memorial or headstone for a loved one, contact Manx Memorials in Peel. This long-standing family-run Manx company offer a wide range of granite and marble headstones and memorials, along with an island-wide inscription and renovation service. Manx Memorials skilled professionals will take the time to help you choose a suitable memorial, and we're proud to say we'll beat other local quotes. Call 843 861 or email matthew@manxmemorials.co.uk.
When couples decide to part, there's a lot to deal with. There's the matter of the children, the matter of your property, the matter of pensions. You need to consider the matter of existing wills and perhaps the matter of a business. And because you matter, Man Benham Advocates are here for you when it comes to divorce and family matters. For help and advice and a free initial consultation, call Man Benham on 639 350.
Man Benham, here for you.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good to have you along this lunchtime on Manx Radio. We're going into lockdown till the end of the month now. Crikey, how about that? Lots and lots of messages coming in. I just want to tell you, first of all, that in Tynwald today, there was an urgent question tabled over the steam packet situation. We'll see exactly how that pans out throughout the day. A message in just to say, you need to more people talking about the legal cover that you get with buildings and contents insurance and whether or not that covers you for personal liability claims. Check the small print is the answer. The question I feel that needs asking, why are there so few arrests, says Ali. Have the powers gone or have they not? A message in that just says people need to stop. Have you seen the shops when the boats don't sail? These men are working long hours. The shops would have no food. We need to be careful. The members of the steam packet may go on strike, and then we'd really be in trouble, says Tracy as well. Can we get this lockdown under control when we still have people in and out of houses, says Anne. And again, I've been getting lots of emails and texts about the lockdown being broken, people going to and from houses as well. Neil said, I'm weary of the Speaker, Mr. Watterson, and other MHKs constantly criticising the Chief Minister and Mr. Ashford and Dr. Hewitt trying to score points while sitting on the sidelines. Now, those people, the Chief Minister, Mr. Ashford, Dr. Hewitt, have all worked very hard through the pandemic and, in my view, can't be held responsible for the number of people who have ignored the guidelines regarding face coverings, social distancing and simple common sense. Howard Quayle and his team have stressed the point right from the start that success in dealing with the virus was trust and respect from the public. Consequently, a minority of clowns have let us all down. Respect and trust, says Neil. And G said, will Manx Radio, as a government-supported agency, provide the information it received from the steam packet company and questions it was asked about the guy doing the inquiry? Well, all the information is on the government-supported agency. Well, all the information is on the website, G. That's Texter 313. Thank you for your many names. Is the Chief Minister going to let people mix over Easter? I don't think so, says Bobby. It'd be sheer madness as well. Will there be an influx of students at Easter, says our correspondent. Another one says, will all students going to university be vaccinated? Tony said, bubbles will lead to troubles. Wear your masks and stop the cuddles. He's a poet and he doesn't know it. Rob, have the so-called great Manx public forgotten the steam packet ran all last year with no fuss? The Isle of Man government can't provide proof that COVID exists, says Rob. That's Texter 844. Thank you, Rob. And Jane said, a year on, we've protected the health service, but at the detriment of life. Businesses have been ruined, jobs have been lost, children's education damaged, operations and treatments have been cancelled, life has been put on hold. There's been untold damage, says Jane. We need to get on with life and life with COVID. I don't think it's the killer we're made out to believe that it is, says Jane 363. And a message in just to say, we jail the public when they break the COVID rules. Should we jail the politicians if they've broken the rules? This is presumably, Chris, you don't elaborate, but presumably, do you think that the politicians have broken the rules regarding the steam packet? Well, there will be an inquiry. There will be somebody trying to get to the bottom of this. I'm delivering on the island daily, all over the island. I see older children, teenagers out and about on the streets every day. I've seen children in parks. I've seen children everywhere, playing fields, all hanging around, playing together. And the fact that it's the younger age groups are the highest infections doesn't surprise me. Parents need to take responsibility, says Pete. Take responsibility for children and keep children at home. And a message in just regarding unions. Why the union involvement with the Isle of Man steam packet fiasco isn't mentioned? People should realise politicians are well aware. If the union wanted to call a strike, it could close the Isle of Man down. An anonymous correspondent. I just wonder whether you sense any union involvement in all this. Right, so it's been a year. A year ago, Monday the 16th of March, the TT was cancelled last year with our first government media briefing, and the Chief Minister brought all new words and terms into our lexicon. The Great Manx Public. Sanitise. Jurisdiction. Pfizer. AstraZeneca. That's it for the Man in Line today. You can you can email out of ours, maninline@manxradio.com. Call 682-631 for the answer phone if you want to get a message on. Thank you for your attention today. Thanks for calling. Thanks for texting. Loads of them today. We don't use everything on the air, but everything that you send is read, is taken note of. The Man in Line returns tomorrow, Wednesday, 12 midday, high noon on Manx Radio. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing today. W.